this is Danny De La Rosa, and you're listening to the House of Noise.
Welcome to another episode of House of Noise.
See, I even let you say it without stepping on your toes.
Oh,
you can't yell at me now.
Welcome to another episode of House of Noise. Welcome to another episode of House of Noise.
House of Noise. House of Noise. See,
well,
you got to say it, and listen. Then I got to say it. I didn't step on your toes.
Listen.
You, no crying. No crying in baseball.
We hope everybody's having a wonderful day, whatever day this is that you are happening to be listening to this podcast.
Yeah, it could be Monday.
Month from now.
Maybe you're at work.
Year from now.
And you're like, what podcast do I want to listen to today? And you're like, holy crap, there's one called House of Noise.
So this episode, we talked to Danny De La Rosa. He is formerly of
guitarist of Babylon AD.
There you go. Take over.
And he is a father and a husband.
And he's doing his own solo.
He's doing his own solo material. Yeah. His style of more of like a bluesy rock, not really like heavy metal, but more of like true rock and roll. If you were to listen to a band like the Beatles or something where it's true like rock and roll. And he's trying to come up with his own sound.
He's kind of going back to the roots.
Yeah.
We talked about influences. We talked about, you know, his heroes, which he got to technically meet Carlos Santana, which it was really just flagging him down in his car as he was driving away from a concert.
Right.
Got his autograph, but, you know, it's still cool.
It is cool. I've never met the man.
He was 14 when that happened.
Which is like crazy.
Can you imagine driving away from a concert and this 14-year-old kid comes running over, flagging you down?
Like, can I have your autograph? Kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool though.
Yeah, he's a cool enough guy Carlos Santana seems like a super cool guy, and I could totally see him doing that.
But he's from the Bay Area, which Bay Area is known for like all the thrash metal.
Yeah, we asked
bands.
We had talked to him about that for a hot second. We talked about stepping on Legos.
Yes, Legos.
We talked about him creating all this music on his own, doing everything on his own. Which he said he had his buddy come in and drum for him. I think he had some other people help him with guitar and stuff too as well. But it's got to be hard and stressful to do all of it by yourself, you know, for the most part.
Yeah, I agree.
But he said it's his lifelong dream, pet project sort of thing that he wanted to do, and he's doing it. So
I hope he does well. I really do. Twelve Weekends is the name of the project. It was actually it's actually out.
He had a really interesting answer to a question I had, because I asked him about being, you know, if there was any difficulties growing up Hispanic and American. Like, he said that there was so much diversity in his area that it didn't affect him at all, which is crazy to me, because he grew up in the 80s when there was a lot of racism and a lot of hate going on in the 80s. But, you know, that's when things, in my opinion, I think 70s really is when things started to change. We're seeing a lot of progress, obviously, nowadays, 40 years later, 50 years later. You know, it's a slow go.
It is. Sure. It is.
Takes a long time to pull hate from people's hearts.
Or to
change a community.
Mm-hmm.
Change a state of mind, state of being, state of art, state of something.
Just a general state. People feel.
Yeah. I mean, it's a generational thing, too.
It is. Oh, yeah,
people pass it down, and it's hard to wean it out.
You know, and it's funny, because I have to say,
I mean, really, we've been fighting segregation and everything forever.
I mean, well, it's funny, because I have noticed, like, where I work, like, I don't even get asked to really do anything with anybody because of my age. Like, I'm considered old.
You're so elderly.
And it kind of like cheeses me off. Like, there's this kid who there's this kid on my team who mentioned somebody who is 40 as old. And I'm like, I'm 47 and I certainly don't consider myself old.
Young at heart, honey.
I mean, like, I'm, you know,
I haven't got the old man reference
it just,
yet.
But honestly, to me, it just almost seems like disrespectful in a sense.
Yeah, but
like,
you know, you did the same thing when you were in your 20s.
Yeah, but at his age, you really don't know as much, and you need to respect the people that have lived a significant more bit of life than you have, because believe it or not, they do have more under their belt as far as like life experiences and just life in general. And I guarantee you, somebody who is 20 years younger than me probably hasn't made the same mistakes I did, but they're probably in the process of making the same mistakes I did. So it's kind of like, yeah, you can think you're like really smart, but see, I've already made those mistakes. And unlike you, I learned my lesson. So in actuality, I am smarter than you because I won't make those same mistakes again, where you're just getting running to make them.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So it's just like lack of respect.
You know, when I called people old was, I think I was a teenager when I was like 14, 15. Anybody older than 25 was an old person to me. That's when they were old to me.
So it's just like, you know, I don't know. It's almost like,
But now I it's the opposite now. Anybody under the age of 20 is a kid. Those darn kids. So, get off my lawn, kids.
I don't know. It makes me want to like punch him in the face sometimes. Well,
hopefully he doesn't listen.
No, he doesn't, because he doesn't. I'm trying to get him to listen to the podcast, and he says he hears our voices at work and he doesn't want to hear them outside of work. He's kind of a little
prick.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. I was told by him that the only way to have a good time at a show is to mosh, and that because I don't mosh, I apparently don't know how to have a good time in a concert.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
You see everybody at a show moshing, right?
Yeah. And his attitude is, well, if you're in the vicinity and a mosh pit breaks out, then you're the problem. And if you get hurt or whatever, then that's your fault. You he's one of those.
You know
people.
What he is? You know what he is?
What?
He's one of those, I'm right and everybody else is wrong and nobody can tell me different.
Yeah.
He's one of them people.
Yeah.
My opinion is the only opinion.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nobody else is going to tell me any different.
Yeah. Well, he's young. But yet he's lived so much life. He just knows everything.
Yeah. Didn't we all at one point?
Well, I really hope somebody hands it to him in a mosh pit.
I've always had an open mind. I've always been enlightened in some way, shape, or form my entire life.
Yeah.
That's something I can say confidently.
And see, I'm from the mindset of you can go to a show and you can do whatever you want. If you want to mosh, mosh. If you want to headbang, headbang. If you want to stand up with your phone in your hand, go ahead.
Like everybody hates you, but you can do it.
But yeah, I mean, we all concert and we all enjoy it in a different fashion, and that's all right. And that's okay. I'm more tolerant. He's just like, oh, well, you know, I don't know.
You know what you should have told that kid? Should have been like, okay, you have your fun moshing. And when I'm backstage talking to the band, you have your fun. I'll have my own fun.
Yeah, he's one of those. And I'm like, no, you like need to be considerate of others. And his attitude was, no, it is what it is. And people should just deal with it.
Wait till he gets to his mid-30s and things start hurting when he moshes.
Yeah, exactly.
He'll change his mind then. I don't particularly like moshing too much because I feel sore the next day.
Yeah, that's the first time in a long time where somebody's just general opinionated opinion and disrespect just really kind of pissed me off.
I still want to mosh though.
I know you do.
There's definitely times I want to mosh. That's more of an aggression thing. Sometimes I want to get that aggression out.
Right. No,
but I don't want to leave you. You know, we've talked about it.
Yeah.
You know, I feel, especially at a festival, unless you're with somebody that we know and I know we're going to meet up afterwards, I wouldn't run off without you. If we were to make it out, there's certain shows that I kind of want to mosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was last year too, but couldn't make it.
No.
Couldn't make it to the mosh pit.
Nope.
I should wear some sort of suit. Then I can definitely go crowd surfing.
Oh, yeah, costume.
I don't get, you know, I like the costume thing. It's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. I just don't really like crowd surfing because I don't want to get kicked in the head by somebody. Well, and, you know, usually the people that crowd surf are the ones that are drunk or high or the ones that are heavy enough to where they shouldn't be.
I'm probably in that category right now. I probably shouldn't. I should wait till I lose 20 pounds and then jump up there and try crowd surfing. I don't know if I'm ready to have my balls grabbed either.
Yeah, well, I don't want my boobs grabbed either, so, or my other parts played with. I don't trust people not to drop me either. And being dropped on cement, you can get seriously injured.
We got way off subject here.
We did. Anyway, let's just shut the hell up and let people listen to Danny, because this is all about Danny anyway.
Yeah. Danny, we loved your interview. We hope everybody does too.
Yes.
So enjoy.
Good morning. How are you?
This is Danny.
Welcome to
the show. I'm doing good. Thank you. Is this Jenna?
It is. And we got Jim here to on the other mic, and we're glad you could join us.
Oh, great. Did you say Jim?
Yeah, Jim. I'm like...
Hey, Jim. How's it going?
I'm like a silent partner. I don't know why they never include me in the emails.
So what's happening this fine Sunday?
Oh, well, it's sunny out here in Michigan, and it's melting the snow. So we're definitely happy about that. I'm sure.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure it's warmer where you're at, though.
Yeah, it's kind of it's overcast, kind of drizzly a little bit in Northern California.
Oh, okay. Very easy. I've actually never been to California, so.
Oh, man. Yesterday was like summer. Now it's like what it is, February.
Gotcha.
Well, I've been out to California a few times. I went out there to visit. We were just south of L.A., and I went up to San Francisco for, I don't remember what it was for, but I went up there for a day, too. But then I ended up living in San Diego for 2 years when I was in the Navy. So I'm very familiar with California.
Yeah, it's great out here.
Yeah.
I love it.
I miss the weather. I really do.
Yep, the weather can't be beat, that's for sure, especially in Southern California.
Yeah, I don't miss the traffic, though. Besides,
nope. That's why I'm in Northern California.
Oh, my goodness. So I was going to ask you, do you have a release date for your album coming out for 12 Weekends?
I do.
You do?
Yeah. Okay. February 28th is the release date.
Nice. I was going to say, I love the cover. And I was going to ask, was that an actual picture that was taken in Cabo?
It is. It's a picture I took. I go to Cabo a few times a year. And I don't know, sometimes I'll just take pictures if something inspires me. And I took the picture of those figurines. And then it took a few months. I go, oh, man, that'd make a great album cover. Because I kind of brightened up the colors and stuff, and I looked at the figurines, what they were doing. There's like a story in every one of them.
Oh.
So, yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, I love skeletons, and they're so neat and versatile, and just like you said, they're very colorful, and they just make it's very it causes your eye to be drawn to that.
And we all have them.
Yes, we do.
I got something rattling around up there. I'm not sure if it's what it is.
The title, 12 Weekends, is where did the idea for that kind of come from? Because that's an interesting title.
Well, I'm in Northern California, and the studio and the engineer/producer was in Central California in Fresno. So I would drive down there, and it took about 12 weekends of driving down to Fresno and recording.
How many hours
and,
spend in the studio a day?
Well, it varied. I mean, the engineer, Mark Capitan, he's an attorney. So he's a busy guy. So we would work in the studio, and then he'd be getting calls for work, you know, because there's no set hours for criminal activity. And so every weekend was a little bit different of how much time we could put into it. And, you know, I played everything except the drums. So I was really busy and trying to kind kind of get a grip on each of the things that I was recording at the time.
Right.
Because it wasn't all done necessarily in order. I just cut, sometimes I'll put the bass down, sometimes I'd put percussion or, you know, whatever it would be.
Right. I guess that's...
But basically 12 weekends what it took.
Okay. That's the beauty of technology and being able to record is you can kind of do things out of sequence too and then, you know, put them together.
Oh, yeah.
That bass, it's better than back in the day when you were on reel-to-reel tape and everybody had to be there.
Oh, I know. I remember our first album in Babylon AD and the producer, he just had tape everywhere because he was making edits.
Oh my God.
Like, you don't even have to worry about that stuff anymore.
Yes. Right. Praise the Lord. And then if you messed up, you might have to go in and like tape, cut and tape together.
Well, not to mention you'd have to hire studio musicians just to fill in the roles.
Yeah. Yeah, that part was easy and cheap for me to just do everything.
I'm sure it's super gratifying, though, now that you've come to the end and the album's actually coming out.
Yeah, because I like both the tracks. I like The Mirror and Acid Flame.
Oh, great.
I really do. You're welcome. They sound different, but... I really like the musicality, and I know, you know, I can hear some Cheap Trick in there. Based on, like, your influences, because I know you're influenced more of, like older bands, like Sly and the Family Stone, and, like, more of, like, the AM radio kind of. So
Always liked the AM radio stuff, the harmonies, and then when the distorted guitar started, when I started hearing that was awesome for me. It just pulled me in. I don't know what it was, but I was sold, you know, from hearing bands like the Raspberries, Grassroots, the Turtles, even the Carpenters. I love the Carpenters because of their vocals. But it's all very melodic, and that's what I like. But I also like loud guitars, so it's kind of hard rock pop, I think.
Right. Are you? Have you ever heard of Link Wray?
I'm sorry, you're cutting out. I didn't hear that.
Link Wray. Are you a fan of him?
Oh, shoot. Sorry. I can't hear you.
Oh, Link Wray. Are you a fan of Link Wray at all?
Link Wray. Yeah. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that sounds familiar, but I'm not. What's that name?
Yeah, he did his most famous song is The Rumble.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, it's one of those songs. I guarantee you hear the first, you know, couple chords of that song, and you'll be like, "Oh, I do know this song." It's just one of those songs.
Oh, really?
Kind of weaseled its way into everyday, musicality.
He was the first when you said distorted guitar. He was kind of like the pioneer of that. Type of sound before Jimi Hendrix started,
right?
Kind of using
back in the 50s, it was more like a surfer kind of sound when they did the distorted guitar for that.
Oh yeah, you know, I remember the name and I remember it from a long time ago, but I can't think of anything that I've heard that he's done.
Yeah, the interesting thing about him was that he was actually a Native American.
Yeah, he was Native American. And I know
I had the documentary on.
Yeah, there's
too.
A documentary on him. It's very interesting.
You know, I may have seen that documentary. Was he from like Chicago area or something like that, or from Detroit?
I believe so. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe
I
Chicago.
Believe so.
I don't think he was from Detroit.
I think I know who you're talking about now.
Yeah,
I watched the documentary on him, and they brought him back out of. He retired or something. They brought him back out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the documentary really focuses on the Native American heritage and
throughout music,
rock music
and how Native Americans were kind of like.
I know they talked about Ozzy's drummer and.
Yeah, how he was him being Native American, how incredible he was on drums and just the whole entire tribal beat. How it really is still part of music, whether it's in a guitar or the drums, you know, it's still such a part of music.
Right. It's rhythmic.
Yes. Like, especially in our rhythm blues.
That's cool.
Yeah. but I know the Bay Area, which I was kind of surprised because I know the Bay Area is really, for me, my understanding, or at least my background, I think it's known. I know it's known for a lot of thrash. And I was, is that something that you maybe not necessarily would incorporate in your music, but something that you also were exposed to being that was like, you know, when you look at Testament and them, they kind of Megadeth and Metallica and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a pride definitely in the thrash scene in the Bay Area. And I love Testament, Chuck Billy. And, those guys are always playing. And then bands like I was in, like Babylon AD, the more hard rock stuff, we just coexisted. It was awesome. They were taking off big time, though, thrash metal, you know, Death Angel. Mm-hmm. In fact, even recent. But yeah, it was the Bay Area is just a great place for music. I mean, from way back, you know, Santana and Montrose and Y&T, Journey, a lot of bands.
Yeah, because I know.
It's great.
The Montrose Jazz Festival, is that in the Bay Area? Do they still? Is that even still a thing?
The Montrose Jazz Festival is, I think that's spelled with an X. That's a different thing than Ronnie Montrose, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, that's in Europe where's it at?
Might be.
Oh, well, that's not here, but right. It's a different thing.
Oh, okay. 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 I was just curious, but Santana, and did you ever have a chance to meet like Carlos Santana or meet Neil Schon or meet like any of the people that you maybe were influenced
by? Heroes?
Yeah.
Do you get the name?
Yeah, I got to meet Carlos Santana.
Mm-hmm. What kind of
I met Carlos Santana when I was like 14 at a Day on the Green in Oakland. He was in his car driving out of the stadium, and I stopped him, got his autograph.
Oh, nice.
Neil Schon I have yet to meet, and he's one of my major influences and heroes from way back when they were doing albums, you know, before Steve Perry.
Right.
It was really instrumental.
Yeah.
Those albums, a lot of jamming going on, and they had a great singer too, and Greg Raleigh, who was also the singer of Santana.
Right. Yeah. But, Greg Raleigh is awesome.
Yeah. But, I think that I never got to meet Ronnie Montrose either, which is a shame.
Yeah.
Before he passed away.
Yeah, that's right. He did pass away. I know it's hard when our idols are no longer here with us and stuff.
Yep.
And seems to be a thing, like Neil Peart passing and stuff like that recently. And
well, seeing as how you knew who Santana was at 14, what was it like growing up with your family? Was it like a were they very supportive of, you know, playing music and different types of music, or what was the dynamic like?
Oh yeah. Well, first of all, when I started playing guitar, they were supportive, and there was no, it was just total support. Yeah. And as far as music that was played in the house, it was everything. I'm Mexican American, and I heard Mexican music and a lot of pop music, you know, the Beatles and the Turtles. And then I just listened on my own, but in the background in the house, it was a mixture of AM rock and Mexican music, of all things.
See, I love Mexican music. I think it's got such a great beat.
Well, it's a little bit like country music in a way, just because there's always a story behind every song.
True.
Yeah. That's true. And, you know, the Tejano, my dad's from South Texas, and Tejano music has a lot of accordion in it. And the accordion came from Europe, from the settlers that went to Texas, and they incorporated the accordion to the Mexican music. And it's pretty cool. There's one of my songs on my album that there's a total influence of Tejano, but it's like a 60s groove.
Oh, okay.
In the song. But it's one of those things that just comes to you subconsciously, you know, because from listening to it for so many years.
Right. Which I'm trying to figure out. Is it It's All Right, It's Okay? Would that be the one you're talking about?
Yep, that's the one.
Hey. Oh, yeah. The Borachio. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah, yeah, Borachio. That's the drunk, version.
Oh.
Because the song had a part in it, and when I originally wrote the song, the part kind of changed time and kind of threw the momentum off, but I didn't want to get rid of it. I knew it wasn't, I knew if someone liked the song, they wouldn't want to hear that part necessarily because it ruins the flow a little bit, okay. Changes the flow, I should say. So that's why I put the other version on there.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, we're talking about...
Because it has a halftime.
Gotcha.
I'm going to switch gears a little bit. We were talking about Link Ray and being Native American, and I was just curious, you know, being Mexican American, how was that coming up? Did you have any difficulties getting into the music scene because of that, or?
No.
No?
Yeah. No, not at all. No. In fact, you know, growing up, where I grew up, it was a mixture of everything. We had Guamanian families, Filipino families, okay. Caucasian families, Japanese. I mean, it was like, I didn't even know the difference, really.
Right. Which is nice.
I didn't stick out at all. It was a great way to grow up.
Yeah, that's
and awesome. A great place to grow up. And I've never experienced anything negative playing music or I just never have. You know? Yeah. Never been a problem.
That's good.
That is good. That is good.
That definitely helps in your upbringing, you know.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I love everyone.
Well, Bay Area is like there's a naval port up there, isn't there? So there's a lot of... I think I was trying to remember if there was one up that way.
But a what? A naval?
Yeah, a naval port up there.
Oh gosh, I don't even. I guess in Oakland there is.
Yeah, well, that helped. That also brings in a lot of different communities together too. I know being.
Oh yeah, it's a melting pot.
Yeah, being in the Navy, there was tons of Puerto Ricans and just a huge mashup of different people in there, and you saw it in the community around there too.
Yeah, everyone serves, which is a cool thing.
That is very cool. So going from go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I think Alameda, there was a naval port there.
Yeah, that sounds,
Alameda.
Sounds about right. So going from being a part of a band such as Babylon AD and to kind of going off and trying to, make your unique stamp on the music industry and doing your own thing. Was that pretty nerve wracking, a little scary, or were you just like, ready
just
to
kinda like
take
it? Just kind of go for it.
Oh yeah, it wasn't nerve wracking at all. I was excited, and it was something. First of all, I'd never sung before, and then I made some demos, and some people heard the demos and said, "Oh man, you could do it." And then Mark Capitan, the other co-producer and engineer, he said, "Oh man, you can do this. Don't worry about it." So I did it. That was the only thing that I was a little nervous about, he kind of made me feel comfortable. And the thing is, I don't try and pull off anything I can't. I'm not claiming to be a great singer. This is kind of like a bucket list thing where I have full control and I don't have a singer I have to work with that's going to change things.
Yeah.
It's all me, which is great. And my high school buddy played drums on it.
Oh, cool.
And that was even made it even better.
It's got to be stressful, though.
So it was easy. It was easy to break away. I mean, in Babylon, we were together for so many years, but we weren't active all those years.
Right.
It was just in the last 6 years or so that we played a couple of the Monsters of Rock cruises and some shows and went to the UK and Germany, which is fun. It was almost funner later in life than it was back then when there was so much stress.
Oh, right. Really?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, when we were first together, everyone was younger and it was crazy. It was fun, but, we got sued a few times and, as fun as it was, you do something positive and three things take you back and the music was changing. So this time around when I was able to break away and do my own thing, it's great. It feels great. Yeah. I can't wait to do another record because I already have it written and I'm excited to record the songs. I want to, hardly anyone's heard this record. I mean, there's a couple singles out, but I'm just getting response now.
Yeah. What's the response been like so far for the people that have heard?
You know, I sat my kid, I had three boys, and I sat them down and I said, I want you guys to know that, you know, I have a record coming out and people are going to say bad things and don't take it personally. It's okay. This is my bucket list thing that I need to do. And I haven't seen anything negative yet. I just jinxed it, but it's been great. I should say.
Well, you jinxed it in a good way, at least, you know.
But I'm sure it's not for everyone, and just like anything, everything's subjective.
Sure.
So whoever likes it, that's great if they like it.
Yeah. How old are your boys?
If not, that's okay. I have twins that are 17 and a 21. Oh, excuse me, 20-year-old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got twin girls. They're a bit younger than yours. They're only 12, so.
A little bit. Yeah.
A little different experience with boys and girls, I suppose.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Do your kids, have they ever expressed an interest in going into the music business in some way, shape, or form?
Or are they into music already?
No, they've all played in band and stuff, and like 20-year-old plays guitar.
Oh.
But no, as far as professionally, not at all. They love music. They love to listen to music constantly, but playing's not in there.
Yeah.
Not in their DNA. They got the other half.
Is that so, kind of...
Well, yeah, what was the dynamic raising them and being on the road and stuff? I mean, I'm sure that was hard.
Well, I wasn't... When I was raising them, I was home most of the time. So that was good. When I was recording demos and stuff, I remember them playing with their toys in my studio on the floor, you know. Right. And even one of my sons said, "Wow, Dad, you're really good." So I needed to have him around a little bit.
Yeah. Right. That's cute.
Now,
then you step on a Lego. Oh. Step on a Lego barefoot, and then it's all over.
Right. Yeah.
Get out of here.
Legos are evil. Oh, my gosh, they're evil.
I know, they are evil.
I've stepped on enough Legos, I know.
It's like, how can something that small be so painful?
I know.
It's all the pressure points in your feet. That's what it is.
Well, it makes, I tell you, you see your life flash before your eyes.
So did they naturally gravitate towards certain instruments, or did you be like, hey, well, why don't you guys try playing this, or did you not force it at all and they just kind of worked it out on their own?
I didn't force it. I offered it, but didn't force it. I think in all three of them played in band at school, and I think their friends did it too. So they were happy with that, and we encouraged it to do something, to play something. And only my oldest boy still plays guitar. The other two don't play their instruments anymore much. So I mean, they can always do it.
Right. My sister played flute and my brother played trumpet. So in school, and neither one of them play instruments now either. But
I always ask that question. I've never gotten the answer of, I forced them to make sure they, it's always implied that no father or mother is going to force their kids to do anything, but
just clean the room.
Exactly. And make sure you pick up those Legos.
But I always like hearing that. I always like hearing that, it's always been available to them. If they want to go get into it, then they can, and I'll help them with it. But, it's just nice to see that the music stays alive in the family. And did your parents play instruments at all?
My dad did. My dad played guitar and not too serious. I mean, I think he played in some restaurants, those days where you have like a two guys playing guitar and singing.
Enough that he could.
And then, And then he got married, and I don't think my mom would have any of that. So after that, it's not, being a full-time musician is not the best.
Oh, definitely.
Occupation for a relationship.
Yeah, it's really not.
It's definitely not.
Because you're not home.
No. Right.
You're gone so much and you're not home. So mm-hmm.
It's not,
that's something I didn't want to do either. I knew I wanted to have kids and have a family and not have that distraction. I guess not necessarily by my choice. I mean, either you make it or you don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's kind of a blessing that we just had as much success as we had, which was good enough for me.
Well, now your kids are older, so, you know, you can, any plans to, do you have musicians that you plan on or that you've talked to bring out with you to go out on the road once you decide to, once you end up going?
I do have a band together, and we're going to start rehearsing in 2 weeks.
Oh.
And I think we'll play some local shows here and then try and do some other things a little further away from home.
Right.
I'd love to play a cruise. That'd be great. But, you know, we'll see what happens with the record. And I would love to do another one and not take so long on the second one. The first one took a while. Not the recording part of it, but just the actually getting to the studio.
Yeah.
I'd gotten remarried, and I got pneumonia, and I just had all these things that were delaying everything. But luckily got it done. And I think this time around, if I do another record, if or when, it'll be quick.
Right. Or would you do it the same way as far as stylistically, or maybe change things up a little bit, or are you kind of waiting to see more of a response and kind of take it from there?
You mean for the type of music?
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm being that it's written. I don't think I would be influenced by anything else. I think whatever comes out of me comes out of me, especially because I'm writing the lyrics and singing and doing the music. It's just whatever comes out of me comes out. And maybe it's a little unorthodox, and sometimes not knowing everything helps, you know, because I'm not really good at engineering demos or anything like that. So I make my demos, and then I give them to the engineer, and then we just go off of that. So, I'm a hack of all trades and a master pun. So hopefully the pun comes in the lyrics, because the songs are, the lyrics are tongue in cheek. They're not necessarily real serious. I mean, the mirror is a little serious.
Yeah.
But most of it is tongue in cheek, and on the other songs that I have, they're tongue in cheek as well. You know, I think of my music as a body of work, even though you haven't heard them yet. You haven't heard the other set of songs, and it kind of all fits in together.
Yeah, it follows a kind of a theme, doesn't it?
Yeah. There's a theme to it. And I feel that the theme to me is me in the 70s or something, kind of like what I was hearing in the 70s.
Right. You know, that's a good thing, though, because I think we're just hit, at least today, with an overabundance almost of music. And so I like to see different
styles
of music coming out. So I think this is...
Well, I was going to add to that is you were talking about, you know, making music for yourself. And I think that a lot of artists are getting away from making music for the masses and just, you know, focusing on what they love to do and what they like. And, you know, if everybody else likes it too, then, you know, that makes it all much more sweeter, but not necessarily what you're out for, you know?
Yeah, because there's so much music coming out. Right. I mean, there's so much. It's crazy. It's a beautiful thing, though, because everyone can express themselves. And, you know, the technology, the way it is, it's a lot easier to do. But it's a matter of finding it, too. Yeah. So you might as well just do whatever you do and not try and cop on someone else's sound. That's the thing, too. I'm not in the rat race of you know, trying to have a number one record in the world or something. It's basically just, you know, doing what I do.
Yeah, you're having fun.
Yep, and having fun. That's right.
And that's
very gratifying.
Yeah, it translates. It's authentic. It's you. And what a compliment to your influences to kind of let them play a role to a certain extent in what you're doing. So that's the biggest compliment you can give any artist, if you think about it.
Yeah. And, you know, for being a lead guitar player all these years, too, some of the songs don't even have ripping leads. It's more of the song and not like typically what I used to do with a hard rock song is you have this long lead, you know, then you have an outro lead, you know, like Acid Flame. The breakdown in Acid Flame is just a slide guitar. It's not really necessarily a lead or a solo, but I like it like that, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to put a lead in it just because there needs to be one, because there doesn't need to be one.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I love slide guitar too, so it's pretty
cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I had a thought. Oh, I was going to ask you. I found an interesting fact. Is Mark Levan, who was in Kill Devil Hill, is he your brother-in-law?
He is.
Okay.
Yep, my wife's brother.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I was going to ask. I haven't heard anything from them in a while. Are they... Do you know if they're, like, working on new stuff or...
Yeah, they are.
Okay. Because, I mean,
he was here for Christmas, and he was telling me, kind of updated me on what's happening.
Cool.
I got to say, he put out a solo record, Mark Levan did.
Oh.
And he just put out a video of a Billy Joel song.
Oh,
it is a great video. You gotta see it. Big Shot is the song.
Oh, my God. I love that song.
Yeah, he did a really good rockin' version of it.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out for sure. Yeah, they were supposed to come to the machine shop maybe last year or 2 years ago, and they had to cancel the tour, so I didn't get to see them perform. So I'm sad, because I'm a big the bassist that was in Pantera. I read his autobiography, and I'm dreading
it.
Yes, I'm a big Rex Brown fan, and I read his autobiography and yeah, so, but yeah, I saw that little fact, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I love Kill Devil Hill. So I just had to ask.
they played a few shows in California. So I think they're working on some stuff right now. Yeah.
Well, that makes me happy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I hope you didn't mind me asking. I just...
No, not at all. No, I'm an advocate.
So
she's just trying to get that insider trade info.
I am, because I would love to interview them at some point. So I have my bucket list. and a lot of Bay Area bands are on it, and you know. So, but we'll see.
Yeah.
So anything's. We're kind of small. We're small fish in the land of.
Well, just like the music business, there's about a billion podcasts too, and radio shows. So to try to stand out, it's almost impossible. But, you know, we just do what we love, and we just do the best we can.
Exactly. I can totally relate to that. That's right.
Well, that's what, like, when we interview musicians, we don't really have format questions. We don't do that at all. It's just a conversation. Talk about your music. Talk about you. Whatever you're comfortable.
Yeah.
You know.
No, that's great. No pressure.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Until now. Tell us all your deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah.
No, we don't go that far.
Yeah.
I mean, we get a little deep here and there on some of the interviews, but, we try to keep it a little lighthearted and just try to have fun.
Yeah, keep it light. Yeah.
Exactly. So,
but real.
Yeah,
light but real.
That should be our slogan.
That's our new logo, our new slogan, yeah.
So, as far as album, you know, it's... You can still... What's the link to, like, where can people, like, if I want to pre-order it, which I do, because I'm very curious about the rest of the music, where can people go to do all that?
Well, it's available. Well, it will be available on all, you know, Spotify, iTunes. It's distributed by InGrooves, which is a branch of Universal.
Oh, okay.
So it'll be able to be purchased anywhere. And also the label group, the label that I'm with, and my Facebook page. There'll be links to all that.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Danny. And I really hope you have a wonderful day. And
thank you. You too.
I don't know if you're a Super Bowl fan or whatnot, but I hope you get a chance to watch it if you are.
Oh, yeah, the Niners.
You're going to cheer for the Niners.
I'm sorry, but it seems like you guys are in the minority right now. You're the underdog. Everybody's been saying,
yeah, that's Chiefs, okay.
As far as I can see. So.
Well, either way, the best team win.
Exactly.
So. Oh, well.
We hope you have a great
Super Bowl. The best will win.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
We hope you have a great Super Bowl Sunday, and can't wait to hear the new record.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you. I hope you like it, and thanks so much for your help.
Oh, no
Appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you.
Okay,
we'll see you guys.
Yep, bye. See ya. Bye.